massively linked to parasites. You had to treat her in the...
I've got to get on my parasite cleanse.
In the house,
you just need to send me the simple steps. Are we recording, Mark? Brilliant. A little bit of chat, off-air chat there. Well, you're back, mate. How's your journey day? Come on, tell me about your journey. We're probably going to talk about parasites at some point. How's your journey day?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I did a bit of traffic in there, but I was listening to you on the way down, so...
What was I saying? Anything any good?
It's the old the belief issue, right? The belief game. I love the way you're ringing this stuff out now. And the old still, you know, a lot of these beliefs, a lot of these internal beliefs, these shitty beliefs, what they weigh, and people don't know what they weigh.
No.
You know, there's a heavy burden to carry and the cost, right?
We were just on about that, actually. We had Mark Ellis in. Great podcast. I think a lot of it was about beliefs, actually. I mean, when people hear it, it'd be like, oh, like we cling on to, I think we hold on to certain beliefs that aren't true anymore about ourselves and about life. And if we don't become aware, like, maybe that's not so true anymore. That's just something that it may have been true, but it's not true anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm still like running off that operating system. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's what's significant to what you were saying, because like, look, you've got to get rid of them beliefs. You've got to drop the baggage, right?
Yeah.
Or else you're going to carry it about.
I think so.
But then there's the belief of like, there's the other side of the belief where it's like, I believe I can achieve that. I believe I can change. You know, it's the belief of the future that don't exist, like the connection of that belief, you know what I mean?
I think the example I use of him was a little bit, you must see this in our groups and stuff sometimes, where we change. So you come in with a certain issue, maybe it's stress, anxiety, I'm a shitty person or whatever, and they change. The external world changes, like you feel different, but then they still say like, oh, my anxiety or my stress or the thing is, they're still like talking about themselves in the same way they were when they came. And I'll be like, when was the last time you were anxious? Like, oh, not for ages. So that's not really a problem anymore. Why are you still talking about problems you ain't got?
So do you think?
And I think it's beliefs that carry on. I think we hold these. It's not beliefs, actually. It's more identities.
I was going to say that. Where's the thin line between the belief and in the belief becoming part of your identity? And you change the belief, but still have the identity of.
You can still identify as whatever you want now, Ben.
No, these days.
You can identify. I think the identities we hold, I personally believe, the identities we hold. Are much like clothes, we wear them, and they will colour and filter our worldview and self-view and determine our... You'll never outperform the view of you have of yourself consistently. And you need to shed them layers, don't you? You know what I mean? Think of the layers you've shed. Think of the layers you've shed in your own transformation. You know, and it's like shedding these shitty beliefs, isn't it?
Because
I think we like start pretty pure and then we... build these layers around us of what we think we are and life is and everything. And eventually they don't serve us, a lot of them. But we still are running life through those lenses. The great book on that is The Four Agreements.
Who's that by?
What's the name? Ruiz, isn't it? Can't think of his name.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. Just talks about beliefs real simply as agreements. We make all these agreements, maybe they don't serve us anymore. So we have to almost peel them back. I think that's... You can create all the external results you want in life, but if you don't see yourself any differently, you're still going to feel not how you want to feel. You're thinking about that, aren't you? Just fucking staring at me.
I was thinking about, like, this is probably what the issue with David Goggins is, right? Even though he's, for me, you know, that's a guy that's changed massively and accomplished a lot, but he's still got the belief that he's not enough.
But he was thriving off that. He used that to drive him.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't he? I think his second book's different. A lot of people said, his second book's a bit more like, oh, shit, you know.
He's figured it out.
I've had these kind of revelations. I don't know, I haven't read it, but I haven't read his first one. Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's good.
What the first book missed out, it's like, oh, thankfully he's been kind to himself.
Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's like he still had to believe that he needed pain to get pleasure and all that. And I know that. I understand that, mate.
But it's everywhere. It's belief that... If you want to improve, you've got to find yourself, you've kind of got to beat yourself into it, haven't you? You've got to like find problems, otherwise you won't be driven to achieve. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that's, there's a big shift on my social media feed at the minute. I'm noticing this on Instagram. A lot of the sort of bigger players are talking a lot about critics and other people. I've seen it a lot. in big concerts. So it's like, you know, constantly people will criticize you, and it's because they're being criticized, really. One of the things I don't get down with is like the only way to shut those people up is to show them your results. It's like, what do I need to shut them up for? So I just figured, I that's how I feel about life now. I think we were talking about that again with Mark, who's in here previously. Mark, the saxophonist.
What is that? Is that like?
He's a saxophonist. Mark, what is he?
Saxophonist.
Man. Well, not like one
play saxophone,
Seneca's then. Fucking love child.
Yeah. but it's like, why do I have to prove anything? Why do I have to shut these people up with my results?
I know.
Here's my results. So now your opinion is irrelevant. It's like, so who cares? Even if it, but we've all been there. I remember like, I wanted my family to really like, when I first started out trying to change, to see that I was doing the right thing.
Mm.
You know, and so I was like, you know, I was trying to ram my life, you know, my results in a sense. I'm not listening to them. Look at my results. Then you realize, I had this big realization. I was thinking about this on the way up in the car, actually. The person that you're trying to shut up is your, is the nagging doubt in you that they're possibly
triggering.
Right.
Mm.
Think about, that's what I was thinking about. Like, any time I thought, I'm going to shut that person up, really, I was trying to shut up this nagging doubt that maybe they had a point. Because when I'm comfortable in myself and what I'm doing and my results and my life and me, I never feel like, if you went, "Sire, I think this, this and this." I respect you, so I'd be like, oh. But I won't be like, oh, if I didn't agree, I'd be like, well, I'm approved, Ben, that I'm right.
Mm.
I'd be like, because when I'm comfortable in,
when
I know, do you know what I mean?
Man,
when you don't know, you try and prove, don't you? Well, I think you're trying to prove to yourself, not them.
Well, that's the difference in being an insecure person or, you know, someone who's content in it, knowing what you're about. I had this growing up. I got to a point, I knew what I was capable of. I didn't need other people to know. I didn't need other people's recognition or approval to some degree, where I was like, when you know your own capabilities.
We all like the, well, it the comes good with, feedback
coming
back. Of course,
well, feedback is essential, isn't it, as we know. But what I'm saying is, if you are reliant on that, if you are solely reliant on that and you never give yourself the credit, or you can never give yourself the acknowledgement, the recognition, you know I'm big in this and Unbreakable, like, I'm get it, you know, I love that we get the recognition. It's you know, something not to be taken for granted. But if you rely on that, you know, it becomes a never-ending story. And a lot of people rely on that, whether it's, you know, something simple like social media, of, I need someone to like my post, I need to play the victim so someone give me some sympathy. Or, you know, that you need someone's answer or at least approval to go and make some changes in life.
Or
validation. Yeah, it's a dangerous playing. I know it too well, I've been there, you know, but... And when I start to look back, especially in the deepest, darkest hours of my life, I was like, man, I knew I could be a dangerous individual. I knew I could hold my own. I knew I didn't need, you know.
Where's that knowing come from, though? That's the thing.
Well, where does it come from? Maybe it's part of your character, because it didn't start like that.
No, I don't think it's part of anyone's character. I think it's...
What shapes your character?
Possibly environment, maybe... Maybe just and it's a subtle knowing. It's a weird tipping point in life. Because I think when you first start out in transformation, like our members who are just starting out, there is an element where I know that I want to reassure them that they're doing well. And as they go through the journey, it's like you want to try and ease off the reassurance a little bit, because you don't want people to be relying on you going, you're doing amazing. Like, you'll always champion them.
Mm.
But you're trying to get them to find it in themselves, aren't you?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Like, this seems to be you can see it when somebody all of a sudden doesn't need that reassurance, isn't it? It's like, wow, you don't need me to tell you you're great, you know, you're doing great. You feel it yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know when that tipping point happens, but it's a lovely fucking tip. It's lovely to watch in another human being.
Well, that's what we're trying to always lead people towards.
And it's lovely to feel in yourself.
Maybe it's a part of independency as well, not being dependent. From a young age, my mum was like, you deal with your shit.
Mm.
You know, like, you got to go and deal with it. And it's ingrained in that way. Look at the opposite now. It'll be all right. No worries. It'll be fine. Now you're lost. We'll get you a medal. Let's go McDonald's, little Timmy. I know you're lost, but you're really a winner. It's not just taking part. It's just to take in.
There's an element where reassurance crucifies.
Well, is there reassurance to recognition?
There's a big study on reassurance increasing anxiety.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
And it's very... We all want to be reassured.
Why would that
though?
Increase anxiety, though?
because it's a little bit like fear, in the sense that if you experience sensations through your body and they're uncomfortable, and then somebody comes over and is like, it's going to be okay, it's going to be, as a, you learn to associate what you're feeling as a problem.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Of course. The best analogy I think of is a dog. I remember, like, we had Flo.
Yeah.
I was told this. Flo, the dog, yeah. Rescued a spaniel. She was fat. We called her Kim K. She had his ass. It was massive. Do you know what I mean? Like 25 Kim kilo K. spaniel. And she wasn't a working spaniel. She was a show spaniel. They're smaller. It's 25, you know, she was like 8, 10 years old probably.
Mm.
Maybe 9. And the other one was 10. So rescued these two old spaniels. And she was a bit blind, and it went a bit blind, but fine for about a year. Just, you know, navigating, just soft as shit. Lovely, looked like a little fat hot water bottle. She started losing a lot of weight, bless. Anyway, one day she just ran across to this greyhound and tried to bite it. Like, what the fuck? Do you know what I mean? Like, just out of nowhere, just trying to bite this greyhound. So, of course, you're like, bloody hell, she had no teeth. And the bloke was fine, luckily. He was like, I was like, mate, that's never happened.
What, his dog had no teeth?
Yeah, but she was, her teeth were rotten. Yeah. You know, had to get them sorted. But after that, my fear was she was going to do that again. So I would, you know, walk her on a lead. Another dog would come and I'd kind of pull her away. And the more I was pulling her away, the more she was going for this other dog and all the rest. So then I saw this at a country fair. Do you ever go to a country fair, Ben?
No.
I was at a country fair and there was this bloke speaking who took in collies, and he said that the collie, the sheepdog, is our country's most put-down dog because they're cute and people get them, but they're working, very intelligent animals.
Mm.
So people can't cope with them. So they end up in homes, they're put down, you know, whatever. So he trained these collies to round up geese to show us that they're not disobedient and aggressive, and he's brilliant. And a lady said, why is my dog all of a sudden fucking started biting people? And he was explaining, you know, when it happens, they feed off your energy. So you're pulling this lead and they feel the tension, and then they look, what's outside of me? What's there to be, you know, afraid of? You know, what, I'm on alert. And he said, it's the worst thing you can do. You know, so when you see comedy now, people have that tiny little dog, don't you?
Mm.
Picking it up, holding it. Just, like, that's them feeding off the owner, really. So to come back to that story, that's kind of why reassurance in a way raises anxiety, because if I'm constantly reassured, and that's not like, hey, it's going to be all right, let's go. It's like, oh, come on, you don't have to do that if you don't want to. And if I'm constantly getting that off an adult, I learn that, wow, this is something to be avoided, you know, rather than, okay, this is natural. And that's usually the hardest battle as a parent, because you don't want to see the child in discomfort. But what we really don't like is that, I think, is we feel the discomfort, we feel upset for them or worried for them. So we try and take it away from them, don't we, boy? And that's where they've shared that study. So I don't know why we were talking about that, but that is where a lot of reassurance comes from, and, yeah, and how it raises
the link of reassurance to anxiety.
You know, yeah.
And then poor behaviors being picked up early. And
yeah.
And that's the difference with, you know, I got the eldest daughter, another relationship, and then the two kids now obviously a bit more involved in their life than I did with my oldest daughter. But the one thing I've always tried to put across to her is, like, every time things get difficult, this is exactly what happens. You reassure her and stop her doing the thing that's difficult. Well, a difficult thing might be going to dance when she doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, or getting out of a comfort zone. And in over time, that would impact a behaviour, you know?
Well, it conditioned that into running away from the things that are uncomfortable.
And this is, I think this is one of a massive issue for a lot of people. And parents, all the times when people come to us for advice, even family, like, what do you do with my kid? Like, you've got to let them get through it. Just support and guide them through it. Where you in too involved in this, it goes back to the appropriate level of care.
Let them have their own experience.
Yeah, let them have the experience. The same story about the lighthouse where we was on the beach and, you know, I got told, like, you ain't helping him here. Helping him is getting on that finish line and showing what's required. You're robbing him of the opportunity. He don't need helping. He don't need reassurance. He don't need support. He needs to get through. I'm robbing him of the opportunity to break through here, because I'm sat here stood here over him, trying to hold his hand.
Yeah. Well, it's like building belief. If we want to build belief in somebody, the worst thing we can do is do things for people, because that takes away their opportunity to build belief in themselves. Then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, it's a big problem right now in society.
Yeah.
Done for you. No, shouldn't really be done for you. Well, this is why, you know, I think my connection with you goes back to wanting to get involved in what you did, because you probably only go out there that wanted to teach skills and techniques and methods and, you know, hey, you got to make this your own, we'll guide you, we'll teach you. But fundamentally, you got to go sharpen these things. You know, you got to build this armory. And we see the difference. And we get it even on Q&As when people come in and like, do you want that reassurance? Do you want that approval? And like, last week I was savage, mate. I'm like, listen, there is no approval from me inside. There is nothing here except the actions that you're going to take. What you need right now is a reminder.
Yeah, you know? And you are, in a way, you are given a little bit of reassurance. Hey, you're in the right place, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not like...
Term it not, yeah.
There's nothing worse, I think, than... there's nothing worse for me than communities where everyone's the same.
Mm.
And it's like, I've got a problem in my life. Here's the problem. Okay, here's what I would do. Okay, I'd do what you said I'd do. And never learning to think for yourself.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Just being told what to think.
Mm.
I mean, that's really dangerous. I think it comes back. We talk about this all the time, but being yourself, it's like, how can you be yourself if you're being told how to think and how to approach things? There's difference between guidance and then there's like, actually, I'm just telling you how to live.
Mm.
And I just think everyone has different ideas about what life should look like, and who am I to tell somebody what they should think?
Mm.
Teach someone how to think, very different, but to tell you what to think, you should think this. You know, that's what I think. It's like, I don't know. I think you're robbing people of their individuality.
No, I think you're bang on with that.
And what's wrong with being an individual? People are afraid of being individuals anyway.
Mm.
You look at it, you think it's very difficult to be, I don't want to keep talking about the same thing, but it's very difficult to be yourself sometimes in a world where...
Telling you to follow.
Yeah, there's certain ways. I'm not saying like, oh, go be yourself. Because if you say that, people go, oh, you can't just go around hurting people. So I'm not talking about that.
Why do people switch to that?
They always switch to the complete extreme.
It?
It's like naive, the ability to...
Ignorant.
Yeah, I love going to bigger cities and you see, like London, you see people walking around just dressed however the hell they want.
Course,
like, outrageous. You're like, good on you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you express yourself. You express whatever that is. You go and do your thing.
Mate, there's a fella in Manchester and he's a serious fella and... You know, this guy's address is like Chris Eubank, you know what I mean? Type of guy that'll put a handkerchief around a glass or so, pick it up and drink it.
Oh, brilliant.
But, you know, that's being yourself, you know? You don't have to be that guy. But I think this is what I'm always trying to refine for me, you know, like bouncing between them boundaries of what it is you want, how you want to show up, what you feel's right, what you feel's wrong. And even like, I had this conversation of a week with a fellow about rules, right? And I'm like, regardless if there's rules on the table here, it doesn't fit the situation. But because you're coming back to policy and rules, it's just got to fit. Yeah. A rule that's been made up that's bullshit. But if you take the rules away and just come with common sense and a human connection, you know that rule, you're full of shit, mate.
Like
it's
Aladdin.
As simple as that. What?
Like I was watching Aladdin. Aladdin. And he was like, Jasmine has to marry a prince. He's not a prince. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
and she's like, and he's like, well, I make the rules. I'll change them. You can marry who she wants. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like that, isn't it? It's like, who makes the rules?
Well, I think the first part of being who you want to be is break the rules that don't fit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Make your own rules. Now, I don't mean be lawless. Obviously, we don't mean that. But I'm saying, if you had a strict set of rules that you abide by, some non-negotiables that really fill your heart, right, that really gets you firing and wiring, and you just committed to that, shit's going to change, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
You're going to perform. You're going to see things like you've never seen before. And even going back to growing up, man, I was absolutely groomed to sucker punch into that lifestyle to make it look appealing, to make this. And you weren't really following yourself. But here's where it gets a little twist, right? Because those characteristics to perform and maybe survive in them type of environments were pretty much the characteristics of me. So sometimes the shit you want to be can be in the wrong environment and take you on the wrong path, right?
How much... does environment shape who we are anyway?
Yeah.
It's that nature nurture, isn't it?
Mm.
You adapt to your environment, I think. Do you know what I mean? We all adapt to our environment.
Well, I told you when I was in, that was meeting lifers in jail and they were hiding shit in cells. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, you talk about adapting to your environment.
Yeah.
Systemized, but like still, you ain't going to learn that shit a month in there. You know, like you've adapted to your environment.
Which is why environment's crucial. But there's an element, you want to set your environment up for success, don't you? If you think if we roll through, at the time we're recording this, people are coming to the end of the year, thinking about next year, setting yourself up for success is a big deal, isn't it? If you go back to environment, a lot of the environment, I don't just mean like all the people you hang out with, you're going to be like them, but I mean it's like, I've been thinking about this, it's like, looking at my looking at the sort of blocks of time I give myself, I looked at my calendar and I was like, next year I really want to prioritize my physical health.
Mm.
Like I did this at the sort of middle part of this year, and then I've had this problem at the end of the year. And it's like, right, I want to prioritize my physical health. But if I look at my environments I'm in on my calendar, it's like, well, where's the physical health here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was always the thing that could get squeezed in time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, busy day, I'll squeeze my gym session down, or I'll squeeze my food, you know, I'll eat the hop. Or it's like, they're not the conditions that are conducive to good physical health.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
The one thing that, you know, is priceless. And look at the world, you know, it's run on this. Hey, you can absolutely go all in professional.
Yeah.
And it comes at the cost personal of everything that's priceless. The time for you, I don't need to go gym, but I've got no time for yourself. I've been that guy, I'm sure you have, where you're like, you justify your own bullshit with the story you tell yourself. But the very thing that's helping you perform in these roles that are important to you anyway, whether that's family or business, is the fact that you're looking after yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's become normal, or maybe accepted, that looking after yourself isn't important. Shit, the way you think and feel, you can be stressed out, burnt out, that's normal. And we know that isn't. We know that ain't, like, remember, put all this construct aside, we're still a species. Mm. We still have things that are requirements, nurturing and nourishing our body, mind, body and soul. And you forget that. This is where we're at. Mental health at an all-time high. Cancer at an all-time high. Obesity at an all-time high. Heart disease at an all-time high. No one's asking a fucking question.
Mm. I think also, coming back to environment as well, I think it's Chip and Dan Heath, like, what often looks like a person problem is a situational problem. You know, think of all the people we rolling around the world who are like, I'm just not consistent, or I just can't make it happen. It's a me problem. Like, they're making it about themselves, but the reality is it's the situational problem. That can be the environment, the calendar, what's going on in their life, can be anything. The situations they're in are driving their behaviors, but we don't look at that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, a lot of people ain't aware of that either. They just get sucked into
it. Blame yourself.
Yeah.
Is your situation in life set up to be conducive to these?
Aligning with what's right.
Yeah.
Your actions alignment with what you want.
Yeah, not even your actions. Like, is your environment set up in a way that supports the behaviours you want?
Mate, that's interesting.
Your time laid out in a way that supports the behaviours you want.
So you're looking at environment. Like, people say the word environment, you just think just around you, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking online.
Yeah, offline.
Offline, I'm thinking calendar, which is a physical environment eventually. But if I'm setting my week up as it is, and I'm trying to improve my physical health, but there's no real time in there to do it consistently, well, what the fuck am I open for?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not going to happen, is it? So, but everything's a balance, isn't it? Everything's a trade. You may look at your time and go, oh, am I willing to trade time at work or time at home to do that? Or how much time am I willing to trade?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, well, I spoke about this on Thursday. I was like, look, does everyone love to stack here? And like, oh yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah, great. I said, watch this then. Let's stack getting up in the morning, not drinking any water, going straight in your phone, already in the car before you even out the door, stressing at your kids, at some shitty breakfast. You ain't journaled, you ain't done nothing to put some good money into the account of energy, and then you're trying to perform through the day. Look at the stack on that. Look at the stack on them, and what's that costing you? And everyone's, you know, they were saying, oh no, it's, you know, I should be doing my daily PowerPoints and meditate, just looking at the benefits.
Mm.
And I said, sideswipe the benefits.
Look at
sometimes
the cost.
That doesn't work for me. Look at the cost. Don't look at the benefits of why you should be looking after yourself if it's not working, if it ain't moving a needle. Because sometimes that doesn't do that for me. Look at what it's going to cost. I cannot afford to go back to where this all started. I cannot afford to have low energy because I'm the complete opposite.
And when you look at the cost, not make it about you, in a sense of, I like to stay factual, stay out of stories.
Yeah.
What's the cost to my health? What's the cost to my life to
do
these things? Rather than, I think we struggle because then we make it about us. I'm a bad person because I'm not getting my habits in. I'm a failure. Take all that shit out of it. You're in storyland.
Yeah, right? Straight into
What's just the facts?
Yeah. Well, the reason why I said the facts, a good point that you're making, was actually I was going, look, this is where the risk and reward comes into it.
Hmm.
You know, if you are risking your morning to not look after yourself, what's the reward for that?
Yeah. I think you can get away with it for a while.
Well, that's another key point we're making, because I was saying you get away with it when, if you've invested heavily in your health and you're looking at it as money, if energy is a currency of life, you've got a couple of million in the bank, you've been looking after yourself, all of a sudden you stop investing in your shit or getting paid. You have a couple of big hitters, live show, you don't look after yourself, couple of late nights, starting your shit again, you dwindle away that bank account, next minute you're back to broke, big hit, then you're in the red. There's a other side of the issue that when you're doing well, that you stop doing things that were making you do well.
Mm-hmm.
And then because you take a few hits and you stop doing it, you don't feel any different. Actually, I don't think that bank account's
I think that's
drawn.
One of the most common reasons people don't keep going.
Like the false high.
Well, not even a false. That is a big reason. But if we get going, we feel good. And we're like, oh, I can stop doing it.
Exactly.
I'm good now. I'm fixed.
Yeah.
You know, I always know there's that question. How long have I got to do this stuff for, Simon? Well, for as long as you want to feel good.
Yeah, as long as you want to perform.
Yeah. And I remember I was telling you about that Matt Gallant thing in the book, in the form of their coaches, which was like, how long are you willing to commit to optimizing your health for? And if it's not forever...
You ain't getting in.
Yeah. Like, you got to commit to that forever.
Yeah.
Because, and that's... It doesn't mean you have to be perfect, does it? All the time, I've got to have it perfect. But the commitment, if we go in going, well, when's the end? Like, when am I going to be calm? You know, when I can stop doing, you know, when can I stop doing all the things that make me calm? It's like, you can stop them when you don't want to feel calm.
Good point.
You can stop them. When do I stop training and looking after myself? Well, when you want to stop prioritizing your health.
Yeah.
When's that? I think it's much easier if you just go, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm a bit like this with a show now. It's like, how long are you doing this for? Probably ever. Forever.
So we take over.
Yeah, just forever. Why? Well, that's what I'm in.
Yeah.
Now there's no like, oh, see how I get on 6 months. It's like, no, forever. Why? Because it's important. How long are you going to commit? Imagine if you said, how long are you going to commit to your wife for, Ben?
Forever.
Well, yeah, there you go. You go, well, I'm aiming to commit forever. Unless I'm out. Well,
that's
that happens,
a key
baby.
Point, isn't it? You're always committed to summit.
Yeah. So it's like, well, imagine if you went... She went, oh, Ben, you know, I'm up for this, but I'm only in, maybe we should just do like a couple of years and see how we get on. But what the fuck? Probably, wouldn't you? Wait, really? What, you're trying to get out? Is it get out? It's like,
yeah, get out clause.
But for your health, you'd be like, I'm fucking not sure about this. They just want to commit for a year, like, and then they want to see, or maybe they're on the look for some ice. I'm happy to commit to you, but I want to keep my eye open for some other things. Like, I think I look at our own well-being like that. It's like, well, you got to commit forever to it. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect all the time, and you probably want to commit to one thing and not have your eye out going, well, is that, you know, maybe that's better. I'd commit to that until I think, well, maybe that, and then I'll commit to that. I don't think you can be half committed to lots of different things. That's just my way I look at it in my own life.
Yeah, the half commitment of doing, jumping around and doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
The obsessor, the shiny object syndrome.
Well, it's like, you know, if you take a recipe and you go, well, you know, I'm going to take that recipe to bake that cake and I'm going to add a bit of that recipe in and a bit of that. You don't get the cake, do you? You get a variation of all of that. I think we're all guilty of that. With the amount of information that's out there now, we can go, I'll take a bit of that, take a bit of this, take a bit of that. But that's actually detrimental, I think. It comes at a detriment to progress.
Why is that?
Because you get mixed recipes. And I don't think you can be fully committed if you're to something, if you're also thinking, well, maybe that'll work better. But I think there's an element of that at the start. You're searching around, like, well, what's going to work? You know, a bit of this, bit of that. But eventually you have to go, hang on, I'm going to commit to this fully. And I'm going to put my intent effort into mastering this or to doing well at this. This is my thing. You're always going to search for a while. But I think if you're always... taking bits of information. I had a chat just earlier with Martin. I was about reading and podcasts. I don't massively like to read loads of different books and watch loads of different podcasts because it clouds my own thought processes about my own life.
Too many opinions.
I like to get one book and I'll just hammer the fuck out of that book if I find value in it and then move on to another one. But I'm not going to be like, bit of this, bit of that, because not all information is relevant and useful. And I think a lot of overwhelm comes from absorbing so much information and so many different ideas that we don't know where to go next. It's almost like when you play football and you've got too many options, you know, on the ball.
Yeah.
It's so much better to just have one. ping it in,
yeah.
You know, get on.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than, oh, I could pass 20, you know, you can't make your mind up. It's like a menu, you know?
Yeah, you get on. I hate
500 them. Menu.
I know, like, what the fuck?
Oh, fuck? What am I going to have here? But when there's like three or four good things, you're like, yeah. Oh, that's easier, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's roll from there.
I like that type of
thing. Usually abroad, isn't it?
You put, life.
They're like, we got everything. You're like, fuck, you know, they got everything. Yeah. 55 pages of food here. What are you going to have? Don't know. That. Oh, what do I have that for?
Fad in your life.
Yeah, so I think sometimes committing to... I think that's one of the best things that anyone can do is reduce the noise. Find your... You're like, ah, I like these lot. You know, maybe it's us. I like that. I'm focused on that for a while and I'm just going to zero in on that for a bit. It doesn't mean forever, does it?
No.
You may go, hang on, now I've done that, I'm going to zero in on that. But I think too many chefs spoil the broth.
No, I think you're bang on.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Maybe we should wrap up on that note. It's 30 minutes. We've done 30 minutes.
That quick?
That quick.
Did we even get going? We're recording right now.
We're recording. Apparently we're recording. I don't know.
Oh, really? Let's go.
I mean, my cup of tea's gone cold. Mark's over there. He's living. He's barefoot now. He's barefoot over there.
That's a savage.
It's fucking like a scene from Die Hard.
Yeah, I think I should take my shoes off.
We're running around the building.
Mate,
this
is the type of Die Hard building. It went off in here. It's going off here.
Yeah, I know where I'm hiding. Hey, in that I'd big love fucking a blue box down there.
Who's that hiding? I'm right in the front of that fucking...
No, you're going to wheel me out in that.
Motherfucker out.
I'm going to pop up with a machine gun. Just gun them all down.
Mate, Mark, maybe you should do that. Try and get everyone to have like a big paintball... Show off here. Mate, you've been hit with them paintballs. Fucking hell, yeah.
No.
You ever been shot?
Have I ever been shot? No.
Well, like, you farmers up there, don't you, like, shoot each other on any given Sunday?
They usually shoot things, not people, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have I ever been shot? What sort of questions
that? Everyone stop getting shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Have I ever been shot? I'm trying to think. Oh, I don't think I've ever been shot. No, I've never shot anyone either. Not even by accident. Ah, well. Anyway, let's roll on to the next one. Let's get out of here. What are you saying?
Let's get out of here.
John, where's John when you need him? Hey, John. He's done. McLean's done.